Okay, so we're diving deep today into something I know a lot of you have been asking about.
Yeah, tons of questions in the inbox about this one.
It's digital nomad visas.
It's a hot topic.
You guys have sent so many articles and interesting research on working remotely from, different countries, the whole thing, the good, the bad, the costs, all of it, and we're going to unpack it all today.
Yeah, definitely. That's the plan.
So we're going to look at the details and hopefully give you a much clearer picture of what it really takes.
Exactly. Like, what are the steps and
Yeah, and maybe even highlight a few really cool opportunities, things that maybe you haven't even considered.
Yeah, definitely some hidden gems in there for sure.
So we've got a really interesting mix of sources today. Everything from like general overviews to some deep dives into specific regions. Like we've got some stuff on Latin America and the Caribbean, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and a lot on the tax side of things too, which is super important.
Right, like how do you actually make this work without getting in trouble?
Exactly. And of course, we've got to look at those top destinations. Everyone wants to know where to go.
Oh yeah, like where's hot for 2025?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be covering all that.
And a lot of you are all about learning things quickly and efficiently, right?
Yeah, getting to the point.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to cut through the noise and give you the need to know stuff, the interesting tidbits, the stuff that'll really help you make a decision.
Sounds good. Let's dive in.
All right, let's start with the basics. What exactly is a digital nomad visa?
So basically, it's a permit that allows you to live in another country legally while working remotely.
Okay, so like if I'm working for a company here, but I want to live in Bali.
Exactly. It's the legal way to make that happen.
Got it. So the key is that your income has to come from outside the country you're living in.
Right, exactly. You can't be working for a local company there.
Makes sense. Now, why are countries doing this? Why are they offering these visas?
Well, it's beneficial for them too. They get to attract skilled workers, boost their economy, maybe give their tourism a little bump. It's kind of a win-win.
Right, so they want you there.
They do. It's not just about you wanting to be there.
I was actually surprised by the number of people who are already doing this. It's not just a small thing anymore, is it?
No, it's definitely a growing trend. Riskline estimates there are at least 40 million digital nomads worldwide.
Wow, 40 million. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and a good chunk of those are Americans, about 18 million.
That's huge. So who can actually apply for these visas? Is it just for tech people or?
Oh, not at all. It's way more diverse than that. You've got your remote employees, of course, people working in all sorts of industries.
Okay, so like accountants, designers.
Exactly. And then you have freelancers, writers, graphic designers, virtual assistants, consultants. The list goes on.
Oh, and entrepreneurs running online businesses.
Right. Those two. And of course, you can't forget the digital content creators, all
Yeah.
bloggers, vloggers,
So
influencers.
anyone who can work from anywhere, really.
Pretty much as long as you can prove you're making money outside the country you're moving to.
So what are the typical requirements then? What do you need to actually get one of these visas?
Well, it varies a bit from country to country, but there are some common things they all look for.
Like what?
Proof of income. Of course, you have to show them you're making enough money remotely from outside the country.
That makes sense.
And you need to be able to prove you can actually do your work remotely, so like a contract or something, showing your freelance business.
Oh, and I bet they want to know where you're going to live.
Yeah, usually they ask for proof of accommodation, some kind of lease or booking confirmation.
Right, you can't just be wandering
Nope,
around.
they want to know you're settled.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the usual paperwork, passport photos, application forms, that kind of thing.
So there's definitely some hoops to jump through, but what about the benefits? Why would someone go through all this hassle?
The benefits are pretty enticing for a lot of people. I mean, one of the biggest ones is the cost of relocation.
Yeah, it's got to be cheaper than just, moving somewhere on your own.
Often way cheaper, especially compared to things like investor visas, which require a lot of upfront capital.
Right, like you have to have millions sometimes.
Exactly. But with digital nomad visas, they're more focused on your earning potential, not your current net worth.
Interesting. So you don't need to be a millionaire to do this?
Not at all. And that's a big draw for a lot of people.
Okay, so cost is a big one. What else?
Family, a lot of these visas allow you to bring your family with you, spouse, kids.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier for people who want to relocate with their loved ones.
So it's not just a solo adventure.
Nope, you can bring the crew.
And I imagine the cost of living is a big factor too.
Huge. You can drastically reduce your expenses by moving to a country with a lower cost of living.
Like, how much are we talking?
It depends on where you go, but you could easily save thousands of dollars per year on things like rent, groceries, transportation.
Wow, that's significant.
Yeah, it really is.
So you're saving money and getting to experience a new culture. It's kind of a no-brainer.
For some people, it is.
But it's not just about the money, right? There are other benefits too.
Definitely, like healthcare and education. A lot of these visas give you access to local healthcare, which can be a lot cheaper than in the U.S.
That's a big one, especially if you're thinking long term.
Absolutely, and your kids can often go to local schools for free.
Wow, that's a huge perk for families.
It is, and then there's the tax benefits.
Oh yeah, that's a big one. People are always asking about taxes.
It can be a bit complicated, but some countries offer really attractive tax rates or incentives for digital nomads.
Like what kind of incentives?
Well, Croatia, for example, they have an income tax exemption for qualifying digital nomads.
So you don't pay any income tax?
Nope. Not on the income you earn outside Croatia anyway.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What about other countries?
Estonia has a flat tax system, which is pretty simple and straightforward. And then there's the Bahamas. No income tax at all for digital nomads.
No income tax sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet deal. And then there's Malta with a 10% flat tax rate.
So there are definitely some tax advantages to be had.
For sure. But you always have to do your research and make sure you understand the rules.
Right. Because I imagine it's not as simple as just moving and not paying taxes anymore.
Exactly. You could end up owing taxes in both countries if you're not careful.
Okay. So let's say someone's listening to this and they're thinking, all right, I'm sold. How do I actually get one of these visas?
Well, it's a process. There are a few key stages you need to go through.
Okay. Walk me through it.
So first things first, you need to do your research. Figure out which country you want to go to and understand their specific requirements.
Right, because it's going to be different for every country.
Exactly. Each one has its own rules and processes, so you got to be prepared.
Okay, so research is step one. What's next?
Then comes the fun part, gathering all the documents.
Oh yeah, the paperwork.
You'll likely need to apply at the embassy or consulate of your chosen country in your home country.
So make an appointment, get all your stuff together.
Exactly. And some countries might let you apply online, which is a bit easier.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But they all have their own list of documents. You know, passport copies, proof of income, proof of accommodation, things like that.
It sounds like a lot of paperwork.
It can be, but hey, it's all part of the adventure, right?
I guess so. So once you've got all your ducks in a row, what happens then?
Well, they review your application, and if everything's good, you get your visa.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's usually a sticker they put in your passport.
So then you just book your flight and off you go.
Pretty much. But there might be one more step when you arrive in the country.
Oh, what's that?
You might have to apply for a residence permit from the local immigration office.
Ah, so one more hurdle.
It's usually pretty straightforward, though. Just another form to fill out, and then they give you a residence permit card.
I guess this isn't a permanent thing, right? You can't just stay forever on one visa.
Right. Most digital nomad visas are temporary. They usually last for 1 to 3 years, and then you have to renew them.
So it's an ongoing process.
It is. But in some countries, those temporary visas can actually lead to permanent residency or even citizenship down the line.
Oh, wow. So it could be a pathway to a whole new life.
It could be, for sure.
Then let's talk about money, because this is a big one for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about proving you have some income, right?
No, it's about meeting specific financial requirements. Each country has its own minimum income threshold you have to meet.
How much are we talking about?
It really varies. Some countries are as low as 1,000 euros a month. Others are more like 5,000 euros or even more.
So it depends where you want to go.
Definitely. And then on top of that, you have to factor in your living expenses, you know, food, transportation, all that stuff.
Right. Because 1,000 euros a month might be enough in one country, but not in another.
Exactly. You could be living like a king in Southeast Asia on that, but in a major European city, it might be tough.
So you have to budget carefully.
Absolutely. And don't forget about the visa fees themselves. Those can range from like 50 euros to over 1,000 euros, depending on the country.
It all adds up.
It does, so make sure you factor all these costs in before you make any decisions.
Good advice. Now, our sources highlighted some of the cheapest countries for digital nomads, which I know is a big draw for a lot of people.
Yeah, affordability is key for a lot of folks.
So where can you go without breaking the bank?
Well, some countries don't actually specify a minimum income at all.
Really?
Yeah, they just want to see that you can support yourself, basically.
Interesting. So they're more focused on your ability to cover your expenses than on a specific number.
Exactly. So places like Germany, the Bahamas, Uruguay, Seychelles, they fall into that category.
So those are some options if you're not making a ton of money.
Yeah. And then there are countries with pretty low income requirements, under $2,000 a month.
Like where?
Colombia is a good one. Their minimum is only $750 a month.
Wow, that's less than rent in a lot of places.
It is. And then there's Albania, Ecuador, Montenegro, Brazil, Czechia. They're all under $2,000 a month.
So those are some really affordable options.
They are. And if you're looking to stay in Europe, Croatia, Spain, and Italy all have minimum income requirements under 3,000 euros a month.
So there's definitely a range of affordability out there.
For sure. You can find a place that fits your budget.
Now let's talk about the elephant in the room: taxes.
Everyone's favorite topic.
It can be a bit confusing, especially when you're dealing with multiple countries.
Right. You got to be careful because you could end up paying taxes in both your home country and your host country.
Double taxation, that's what we want to avoid.
Exactly. So the general rule is that you'll remain a tax resident of your home country unless you spend more than 183 days in the host country within a tax year.
Okay, so less than 6 months, you're good.
Pretty much. But once you go over that, you might become a tax resident in the new country.
And that's when things can get complicated.
It can, especially if there's no tax treaty between your home country and your host country.
Oh, right. Those treaties are important.
Super important. They're designed to prevent double taxation. So if there's a treaty, you should be in good shape.
So it's worth checking that out before you move.
Absolutely. Don't just assume you're off the hook for taxes in your home country just because you're living somewhere else.
Right. You don't want any surprises come tax season.
Nope. Nobody wants that. And remember, some countries offer those tax incentives we talked about earlier.
Right, like Croatia with their income tax exemption.
Exactly. So that's another thing to consider when you're choosing a destination.
So there are definitely ways to minimize your tax burden.
For sure. But it's always best to consult with a tax professional to make sure you're doing everything correctly.
Good advice. Now, what about bringing family along? Is that usually allowed on these visas?
Yeah, most digital nomad visas let you bring your spouse or partner and any dependent children.
Okay, so you can relocate as a family.
Exactly. You're not limited to just going solo.
And what about older children or parents?
Some programs might allow for that, but it usually requires more documentation proving their dependency.
So it's possible, but maybe a bit more complicated.
Yeah, it's not as common, but it's worth looking into if it's something you need.
Now, let's be real. Not every visa application gets approved. What are some of the common reasons people get rejected?
Well, one of the biggest ones is not having enough proof of your remote work status.
So you have to really show them that you're earning money outside the country.
Exactly. And that your income is stable and reliable.
And I imagine meeting the income requirements is important, too.
Oh, yeah. You got to make sure you meet that minimum threshold and that you have the documentation to prove it.
So don't just say you're making that much. You have to show them.
Right. Bank statements, pay stubs, all that stuff.
And then there's the paperwork itself.
Yeah. You got to make sure everything's filled out correctly and that you have all the required documents.
Easy to make a mistake.
It is so. Double check everything. Read the instructions carefully. And if you're not sure, get help.
Because I imagine a small mistake could ruin your whole application.
It could. So it's better to be safe than sorry.
Now, even if you get approved, are there any downsides to these visas? Anything people should be aware of?
Yeah, there are a few things to keep in mind, like the fact that most of these visas are temporary.
Right, they don't last forever.
Exactly. So you might have to go through the renewal process every couple of years.
And there's no guarantee you'll get renewed.
Right. There's always that risk. And they don't always lead to permanent residency or citizenship either.
So it's not a guaranteed path to a new life.
No, it's more like a temporary adventure with the potential for something more down the line.
Okay, so temporary status is one thing. What else?
Well, there are often restrictions on working locally.
So you can't just get a job in the country you're living in.
Right. You have to rely on your foreign income source.
That makes sense.
And of course, there are the tax implications we talked about earlier. You got to make sure you understand how you'll be taxed.
Right. That's crucial.
It is. And okay. Beyond the practicalities, there's also the personal side of things. You know, moving to a new country can be challenging.
Oh, yeah. Culture shock, loneliness, all that.
Exactly. It's not always easy to adapt to a new place and build a new life.
So it's important to be prepared for those challenges.
Definitely. It's not just a vacation. It's a big life change.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but our sources also included a really helpful FAQ section. So let's go through some of the key questions people have.
Sounds good. Let's tackle those FAQs.
First one, everyone wants to know, what's the best country for digital nomads?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
So is there a clear winner?
Well, it depends on your priorities, but Malta often gets mentioned as a top contender.
Why Malta?
Well, they have a decent income requirement. You can bring your family along. They have a good healthcare system, a high standard of living, and it's part of the Schengen area.
Oh, right. So you can travel freely throughout Europe.
Exactly. And their digital nomad visa is renewable for up to 4 years.
Sounds pretty good.
It is. But of course, it's not perfect for everyone.
Right. Everyone has different needs.
Exactly. So what's best for one person might not be best for another.
Okay, so what about the cheapest country?
Well, if you're looking for the lowest income requirement, Colombia takes the cake.
Really? How low are we talking?
Only $750 a month.
That's amazing.
It is. And they have a lot to offer, too. Beautiful scenery, vibrant culture, delicious food.
So it's not just about the low cost of living.
Nope. It's a great destination in its own right.
Okay, so Colombia for affordability. What about other options?
Albania, Ecuador, and Montenegro are also pretty cheap, and they have a lower cost of living than many EU countries.
So those are some good alternatives.
Definitely, especially if you're on a tight budget.
Now, what about processing times? Some people want to get this done quickly.
Yeah, I hear you waiting around can be frustrating.
So which visas are the fastest?
Well, the Bahamas and some Caribbean nations are known for their quick processing times.
How quick are we talking?
Some can be as fast as a week.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is, and Georgia's not bad either. They usually process visas within 10 days.
So those are some good options if you're in a hurry.
Definitely, and they all have their own unique benefits, too.
Now, the big question is it actually worth it? Is a digital nomad visa worth all the hassle?
That's the question everyone wants answered.
So what's the verdict?
Well, it depends on your individual circumstances and what you're looking for.
Right, there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Exactly, but there are definitely some pros and cons to weigh.
Like what?
Well, on the plus side, you have the potential for a lower cost of living, the ability to travel and experience new cultures, the flexibility to work from anywhere, and those tax benefits we talked about.
Those are some pretty big perks.
They are. But on the downside, you have the temporary nature of the visas, the restrictions on local employment, the potential for culture shock and loneliness, and the complexity of dealing with taxes in multiple countries.
So it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
No, it's not. It's a big decision with a lot of factors to consider.
Okay, so if you're looking for the cheapest EU visa, which one is it?
Croatia's the winner there, with a minimum income requirement of 2,540 euros a month.
So that's the most affordable option in Europe.
It is, and they have that tax exemption too, which is a bonus.
Right. No income tax for a year? That's pretty sweet.
It is. And what about permanent residency? Do any of these visas offer a pathway to that?
That's a good question, because a lot of people are looking for a more permanent solution.
Yeah, they want to put down roots.
So is that possible with these visas?
Some countries do offer a pathway to permanent residency or even citizenship after you've lived there for a certain amount of time.
Like which countries?
Portugal's a good example.
Mm.
You can apply for citizenship after 5 years of living there legally.
Wow, so you could become a Portuguese citizen.
You could, and Spain also offers permanent residency after 5 years.
So there are options if you're looking for something long term.
Definitely, but you have to meet certain requirements and it's not always easy.
Okay, last question. How much money do you actually need to make this happen?
Ah, the million-dollar question again.
So is there a magic number?
Sadly, no. It really depends on where you want to go and how you want to live.
Right. Some countries are more expensive than others.
Exactly. And some people live more lavishly than others. So it's really about creating a budget that works for you.
But can you give us a ballpark figure?
Well, based on our research, you're probably looking at needing somewhere between $750 a month to $6,000 a month in income.
That's quite a range.
It is, and that doesn't include your upfront costs like visa fees, flights, moving expenses, all that stuff.
So it's definitely an investment.
It is, but for a lot of people, it's an investment worth making.
All right, let's shift gears a bit and talk about destinations, because our sources highlighted some of the top spots for digital nomads in 2025.
Yeah, these are the places that are really trending right now.
So where's everyone going?
Well, Lisbon, Portugal is always popular.
What's so great about Lisbon?
Well, they have great internet, super fast and reliable, and the city itself is amazing. Beautiful architecture, delicious food, vibrant culture.
Sounds like a good time.
It is, and their digital nomad visa is pretty attractive too.
What about outside Europe?
Chiang Mai, Thailand is always a favorite.
Why Chiang Mai?
It's super affordable. For one thing, you can live really well on a small budget.
That's always a plus.
Yeah, and they have a great digital nomad community. There are lots of co-working spaces, events, meetups.
So you can connect with other like-minded people.
Exactly. And then there's Tbilisi, Georgia, which is another up-and-coming destination.
What's drawing people to Tbilisi?
Well, it's pretty cheap. And they have a really generous visa policy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nationalities can stay there visa-free for a whole year.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is. And they have a 0% tax on foreign income, which is a big draw for digital nomads.
So you can keep more of your hard-earned money.
Exactly. And the city itself is really cool, too. Lots of history. Beautiful architecture, great food.
So it's not just about the financial benefits.
Nope, it's a great place to live and work.
Okay, what about back in Latin America?
Mexico City is a big one.
Why Mexico City?
It's a huge city with a lot to offer: amazing food, vibrant nightlife, interesting museums, historical sites, and a growing digital nomad scene.
Sounds like there's something for everyone.
There is, and it's relatively easy to get a temporary resident visa there, which can last for up to 4 years.
You can stay for a while.
You can, and then there's Canggu in Bali, Indonesia.
Ah, Bali, the land of surf and yoga.
Exactly. It's a really popular spot for digital nomads who want to combine work with a relaxed lifestyle.
So you can surf in the morning and work in the afternoon?
Pretty much, they have a lot of co-working spaces that cater to that kind of lifestyle. You know,
Yeah.
poolside co-working spaces, cafes with good wifey.
Sounds idyllic.
It is, but it can be a bit touristy and crowded.
Yeah, that's the downside of
It
paradise.
is, but it's still a beautiful place to live and work.
Okay, what about South America?
Buenos Aires, Argentina is a great option. It's got that European vibe, but it's much more affordable.
So you can get the best of both worlds.
Exactly. And the culture is amazing, the food, the music, the people. It's a really lively and exciting city.
Sounds fun.
It is, and they have a pretty easy visa process too.
Okay, what about other options?
Kallen, Estonia is another good one. They're really pushing the digital nomad lifestyle.
They have that e-residency program, right?
Exactly. It's a really innovative program that allows you to run a business online from anywhere in the world.
So you don't even have to live in Estonia to benefit from their business-friendly environment.
Right. You can manage your company remotely and take advantage of their low taxes and digital infrastructure.
That's pretty cool.
It is. And Tallinn itself is a beautiful city, too. Medieval architecture, modern amenities, great food.
Sounds like a good mix.
It is. And then there's Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, Cape Town. I've heard good things.
It's stunningly beautiful, for one thing. Mountains, beaches, vineyards, it's all there.
And the wine.
Oh, yeah, the wine is
So it's a
fantastic.
great place to enjoy life.
It is. And they have a really good infrastructure, too. Good internet, reliable transportation.
So it's easy to live and work there.
It is. And they're actually launching a new digital nomad visa soon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're really trying to attract remote workers.
Okay, back to Europe. Any other contenders?
Barcelona, Spain is always a classic.
Yeah, Barcelona's awesome.
It is. It's got everything: art, beaches, great food, amazing nightlife, and it's very walkable.
So you can easily explore the city.
Exactly. And they have a digital nomad visa that's pretty easy to get.
And last but not least,
San Jose, Costa Rica.
ah, Costa Rica, the land of Pura Vida.
Exactly. It's a great choice for digital nomads who are into nature and sustainability.
So you can work from the rainforest?
Pretty much, they have a lot of eco-friendly accommodations, co-working spaces, and cafes.
That sounds like my kind of place.
It is, and the people are super friendly and welcoming.
Okay, so we've got a lot of great destinations to choose from now. Let's talk about taxes again, because I know this is a big concern for a lot of people.
Yeah, taxes can be a headache, but they're important.
So which visas stand out for offering no or very low taxes?
Well, we mentioned Croatia earlier. They have that 1 year visa with 0% income tax. But you do have to leave the country for 6 months before you can reapply.
So it's not a permanent solution?
No, but it's a good option if you're just looking for a temporary break from high taxes.
Okay, what about other options?
Costa Rica has a 2 year visa with 0% local income tax on foreign
So
earnings.
you don't pay any taxes to Costa Rica?
Nope. And they even let you import your work equipment and a car tax-free.
Wow, that's pretty generous.
It is, and the application process is all online, which is convenient.
Sounds pretty good.
It is. But keep in mind that you might still owe taxes in your home country.
Right, those tax treaties are important.
They are. You got to do your research.
Okay, what about the Caribbean?
Curaçao has a 1 year visa with no local income tax and no minimum income requirement.
So you could potentially live there tax-free?
You could, and it's a beautiful island with a laid-back vibe.
Sounds like paradise.
It is, and the processing time is only 2 weeks.
Wow, that's fast.
It is. So it's a good option if you're looking for a quick and easy solution.
Okay, any other tax havens?
Dubai has a 1 year renewable visa with 0% local income tax, but they do have a higher income requirement.
How much do you need to make?
$3,500 a month.
So it's not for everyone.
No, but if you meet the requirements, it's a pretty good deal.
Okay, back to Latin America.
Ecuador has a 2 year visa with 0% local tax on foreign income.
So another tax-free option.
It is, but some people say the wifey can be a bit unreliable in certain areas.
That's a deal breaker for digital nomads.
It can be, so do your research and make sure you have a good internet connection wherever you go.
Good advice. Now, what about Greece?
Greece has a couple of options. They have a one-year non-renewable visa with 0% local tax.
But you have to apply through their consulate.
Right. And then they have a two-year renewable residency permit, which does involve establishing tax residency.
So you'd be paying taxes in Greece?
You would, but their tax rates are pretty reasonable.
Okay. And last but not least, Malta.
Malta has that four-year nomad residence permit with a 10% flat tax rate.
So you're paying some taxes, but it's still pretty low.
It is, and Malta has a lot to offer, too.
Okay, so we've got a good overview of those tax-friendly options.
Yeah.
Now let's dive a bit deeper into Latin America and the Caribbean.
Sounds good. Those are two popular regions for digital nomads.
So what are the highlights for Latin America?
Well, Mexico, Costa Rica, Colombia, Brazil, and Argentina all have dedicated digital nomad visas.
And they all have different requirements.
They do. Mexico's is pretty easy to get, and they have a large expat community.
So it's a good place to meet other people.
It is, and Costa Rica is known for its beautiful scenery and stable political environment.
But it's a bit more expensive than some of the other countries.
It is, but it's still a good value for money.
Okay, what about Colombia?
Colombia's a great option if you're on a budget. They have a low income requirement, and the cost of living is pretty low.
And the people are super friendly.
They are. It's a really welcoming culture.
What about Brazil?
Brazil's amazing if you're into culture and adventure, but the language barrier can be a challenge for some people.
Right. Not everyone speaks Portuguese.
And Argentina is a good choice if you're looking for a more European vibe at a lower cost.
Okay, so a lot of different options in Latin America.
Definitely something for everyone.
Now, what about the Caribbean?
The Caribbean is a bit more of a mixed bag. Some islands are really expensive and cater to a more luxurious clientele.
Like which ones?
Bermuda is a good example. Their digital nomad visa is geared towards high earners.
Okay, so not exactly budget friendly.
No, but they do have beautiful beaches and a relaxed atmosphere.
And the Cayman Islands are pretty pricey too, right?
Yeah, they have high income requirements, but they're also a tax haven.
So it depends on your priorities.
It does, but there are also some more affordable options in the Caribbean.
Like which ones?
Curaçao is a good one. They have no minimum income requirement, and the cost of living is reasonable.
And they have that tax-free visa we talked about earlier.
Exactly. So that's a big plus.
What about other affordable options?
Dominica has a really cool program called Work in Nature, where you can live and work in their rainforest.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It is, and they offer tax exemptions, too.
So you can save money and enjoy the beauty of nature.
Exactly. And then there's Anguilla, which is a beautiful island with flexible financial requirements.
But they're not too strict on the income side.
Nope, and they have amazing beaches.
Sounds like a good place to relax and work.
It is, and then there's Antigua and Barbuda, which is promoting co-working spaces and has a two-year visa.
So they're really embracing the digital nomad lifestyle.
They are. And Barbados is another popular choice with their welcome stamp program.
Yeah, that's a 12-month visa with a pretty fast processing time.
It is, but they do have a higher income requirement.
Okay, so a lot of variety in the Caribbean.
Definitely from luxury to budget-friendly. There's something for everyone.
Now let's go back to South America and talk about some of the specific visa details.